this is a document, it's a Vatican document for the people of the world. Clearly there are elements contained therein that are very pertinent with regard to England and Wales, and we've talked about the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Act as it is now. Let's talk a little bit about stem cells with regard to research. I know, of course, you were a part of a panel that engaged with some leading stem cell scientists 6 months or so ago. There is a meeting of minds, in a sense. They might come from opposite sides of the table, as it were. But there is that engagement. Do you see a sort of a situation developing where the scientists are keen to explore these bioethical matters?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think there's always a bit of a frustration when you say to someone that something which they want to do is problematic for some reason, which is not what they're thinking about at the time. And people do get individually wedded to their own project or their own way of taking research forward. But many parts of stem cell research are not ethically problematic. And actually, the more interesting parts of stem cell research to do with adult stem cell research, they're looking more and more promising. I mean, it's tragic from my point of view that it was after the bill was passed into law, in fact, I think only a week after, that you had that remarkable transplant of a trachea, which had been grown from a woman's own stem cells. That they'd taken stem cells from part of her body and used it to help create an organ, which was then put back into her. I mean, a huge advance, it's just one person, but it's a real sign for hope for the future and completely ethical. So there are lots of very good, very ethical things. And the document and the church is saying these are the things that we should support and promote very strongly, and we shouldn't be going in for forms of research which make ethical compromises, even at this point.
And we have, of course, had cord cells from the umbilical cord, and there are things that can be done there as well, aren't there?
Oh, I think that there's many different forms of science connected to stem cells which are positive and promising and ethical. I think the whole of the area of stem cell research is a very young science. It's all about, at the moment, promise, and we have yet to see what will deliver and where will deliver. But taking stem cells from the umbilical cord, taking stem cells from bone marrow, taking ordinary cells and converting them into stem cells with biochemical means, that these are all ways in which people are exploring new possibilities for the future. And I think that we shouldn't get into the mindset of thinking there's only one way to solve a problem, that there's only one way in which we can do things. There are many ways, and many ways which are being explored. Precisely at this time, we ought to be investing our time and our interest in ethical forms of stem cell research.
Does Dignitas Personae help us when it comes to talking to the wider world about what the church believes? We're talking about some very emotive issues here when it comes to embryos. We talk IVF and a couple desperate to have a child, for instance. We talk about people that might have sick sons or daughters that want to look at advancements for cures and so forth. I mean, it's very difficult and very emotive, isn't it?
It is a very emotive area, and obviously, someone who's facing the problem themselves, if a solution is suggested to them, and then somebody else says there's a problem with that solution, then it's always going to be upsetting. But the church does want these questions addressed, and there are things in this document where it says infertility, for example, is a real form of suffering which science should be addressing. And it should be looking at the causes of fertility, both in general and in the individual instance. And there are things which can be done. Again, this is new forms of medicine, but there are things that can be done to help and give fertility treatment without bypassing, should we say, the human interaction in reproduction, without bypassing procreation, by looking at why has this happened? Looking at the womb, the eggs, were there drugs which can be given? There are forms of treatment out there which the church wishes to encourage, but not those which are in some ways undermine what it is to be human, or which compromise human safety, or which compromise the protection of the weakest human beings, including even human embryos.
I think just finally I'd like to address the point that was brought up by the Cardinal some 6 months plus ago with regard to how we do engage with these bioethical issues, important bioethical issues. And he was calling for a national bioethics commission, a balanced one, taking in all views, where there may well be some church representation, or certainly representation from those that might defend the dignity of the embryo. Now, we don't really have that with the HFEA, the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority. So is that a circumstance that would be beneficial when we come to look at these issues?
I think absolutely. I hope that this document will show the church does have a coherent view, a consistent view. It's not the same as everybody's view, but it does have its own view, and it tries to present it rationally. And it deserves a place at the table alongside other views. And at the moment, what you have is the exclusion, or you seem to have the exclusion of certain views, and you don't have an effective form of regulation which the whole community can trust. I mean, it does really alienate parts of the community who don't see this as a credible safeguard. And I think if you had a bioethics committee which had a full range of opinions, including the sort of opinion which is represented by this document, alongside other opinions, I think you'd have something which could really gain the trust of the community as a whole, and something which would be worthy of a democratic government.